Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back?
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It must be magic.
I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Welcome back to another
episode
of Tis the Podcast. You're very welcome, Anthony. Where we are determined to keep the Christmas spirit alive 365 days a year. And if you can believe it, we are now a third of the way to Christmas already, with this being your last episode and last Monday of April. I'm Tom.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Anthony. I've missed y'all. It feels like it's been a while.
It does feel like it's been a while for the three musketeers here. Week.
I know.
I abandoned and missed y'all last week.
That's okay, though.
Where were you, Tom?
I was in Austin, Texas at work.
Oh. Austin. Did you get any good food while you were down there?
I ate antelope.
You ate antelope? I've never had antelope before.
It's amazing.
Is it really? Like
it was this. We had all this fancy meat, and it was
tastes
a burger.
Like venison, I assume?
No, it's not.
I hate venison.
At all. No game flavor at all. It was a burger that was 75% antelope, 25% Wagyu beef, and it was out of this world.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Best burger I've ever had in my life. No, there's not even anything close to it in the burger world.
Oh. Burger World is going to be writing the podcast saying, hey there, buddy.
You know, the amount of plugs we do for free plugs we do for things like Burger World and Disney and everything like that, we should be getting
Oh, that wasn't the name of the place. I was just saying, like, in the burger sphere.
I was about to say, you had the world's best Wagyu antelope burger in a place called Burger World.
No. I meant, like, it's the best burger I've ever had in the world of burgers.
In the world of burgers. What was the name of the place? It wasn't Twisted Root, I assume. Was it Twisted Root?
No, it was not. It was?
Do we have any Austin listeners? Austin listeners, are you out there?
Chuck of CM Chuck is an Austin listener.
It was at the Die Do Butcher Shop and Supper Club.
Oh, a butcher. That's exciting.
It was exciting.
Amazing. Amazing. I will be going there every time I go to Austin now.
Nice.
I may be going to Tulsa.
I don't think that's in May. We're just going to assume it's happening.
Yeah, I was just.
It's definitely going to happen. I just have to figure out if work will let me do it June or July. Are you guys still around in July?
I'm more around in July than I am in June.
I may, because I think I'm actually covering for somebody on paternity in June. So July, it may be.
Anthony, you tell me when you're coming and I will move heaven and earth to be here for you.
If I came in June, it would literally have to be for a weekend. Like if July, I can make a few, not like a few weekends, but like a few days past the weekend or before the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm aiming for July.
Well, it's going to be real hot. It's going to be real hot.
I'm aware.
A lot of indoor stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of indoor things.
That's
yes,
fine.
Planner, Tom.
And I expect an invite to both of y'all both of y'all homes.
Yes.
Of course.
You can meet our
it's
doodles.
Gonna be hot. It's gonna be hot. You're gonna have to come here and cool.
I'll come with
cool.
Torches and pitchforks. We should Tom.
One look at Luna and Lucy and be like, you're the most precious animals.
Not to say what we should do or impose myself on your house, Tom, but you've always talked about how you always wanted a Christmas in July pool party. If I come in July, we should do that.
We can do it. We can do a pool party.
Christmas
in July.
Christmas in July.
It's fun.
Of course.
Okay, now it's definitely going to be July. So
this will be my second Christmas party of the year already.
And then after Tulsa, I may go down to Texas for a day or two.
Sweet. What are you going to do where in Texas?
Because I also host DC Unlimited. And one of my co-hosts from there is in Plano, Texas. So I would fly into Dallas. And
oh, nice. There's some really good eats in Dallas. So. And Dallas is very catch area up with diet, Jerry. So.
Yes, I would let Jerry know as well that I'm in town.
But he's not at Decorator's Warehouse anymore, right?
He's no, back. But... Oh, he's is back. He back? Mm-hmm. He's back.
You could go to the one of the biggest Christmas shops in some amount of states or countries.
That's true. I think that is my goal. Solo trips and seeing people I've been friends with for ages and meeting them. Like next year too. Maybe one day I'll go out to Kentucky for a long weekend and meet Ron.
Hot dog.
And then hopefully by then Mitch McConnell will be dead. I can piss on his grave, but I won't hold my breath.
You know, just while you're there. By the
actually,
way, I had to carve some time out.
Actually, Ron, he I have been struggling lately, listeners, as anyone who follows me on social media will know, and Ron sent me the best motivational meme ever the other day. It was a reel on Instagram. And it was a guy saying, the last time I told my therapist I felt suicidal, my therapist told me, do you really want your family to say Mitch McConnell outlived you? And that is all the motivation I need to keep going. So, Ron, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll be going for at least another 30 years because evil Ron never dies.
Come in with the win. Well done.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm already over the election season.
Oh, you're over it?
I'm totally over it.
Well, listeners, we will record a special bonus episode to drop on Election Day. That way you can ignore all the stuff going on. Put that on our list. Yeah, so. I already had it on my list to get things in advance we need to record, like Thanksgiving and all this stuff. I'm waiting just for your school year and band and everything to end in another month.
And then I'm going to be like,
this guys, summer. Let's just 4 weeks in a row, double up every week and get all that crap out of the way.
Yep.
I love it, Anthony. Absolutely. I love it.
I'm all about that, too.
If you turn on the news, you turn on TV, things all look dire everywhere we look. So we needed a fun, lighthearted, feel-good movie.
Yes, we did. And before we get to that, Tom, I did want to say something that is fun and made my week. Apparently, rumor is Hocus Pocus 3 is going to be a Christmas movie, which, sign me up. It's like somebody in Hollywood or at Disney is like, there's this guy, Anthony Caruso, and this will be his favorite movie of all time. So... do it.
Anthony could have asked anything of the universe. He could have won the lottery. He could have done anything. Christmas Hocus Pocus instead.
Could have cured cancer. But yeah, here we go. Christmas Hocus Pocus. And if that is true, I am in. I don't know what that would be, but I am in.
Where did they get that? What was that Santa picture that was in your... because he was pretty cute.
I have no clue. I think it's just a stock image of Santa.
Now, your suggestion of what songs should be included in the movie is absolute perfection.
Yeah. It's wonderful Christmas time. And that's because there's a popular meme that goes around every holiday season for the past few years that said the beginning of this song is like a coven of witches in the woods about to cast a spell and somebody walks in on them. So they just switch gears at the last minute and go, simply having wonderful Christmas time.
Makes me laugh every time I see it.
They're not wrong when you look at the beginning lyric of that song.
And they're not. The moon is out.
The moon is bright. Yeah.
The spirit's up.
Yeah.
So, missed opportunity if that's not the song, if it is indeed a Christmas movie.
Yeah. It's It's pretty exciting. They could do a lot with that.
They could. You could give them like red fur lined dresses too. You know, like the Mrs. Claus type dress. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could decide not to de-age them and like have them be older and their actual age. Who knows?
True.
I mean, Bette Midler's 78, so they're doing Hocus Pocus 3, whatever it is, shoot it now before she dies.
She's going to live forever. I think we can all agree on that one.
She should live forever. Bette Midler's
amazing. Yeah, I think if anybody would, she would.
I mean, lots
of... Betty White almost did.
Betty White lived to almost... She was 90... What? Was she 90? Or 100? Close to 100. She was like 99, close right? To 100.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Betty White, I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
I yeah, loved all the 99. The jokes she would make, how she needed Ouija boards to talk to all her friends.
Y'all, she was 18 days away from being 100.
That's yeah. It, because they were doing the big 100th birthday TV special, and then she died.
Mm-hmm. So close.
I already decided I am going to do my own eulogy when I die.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to have somebody
beyond the grave.
I've already written it for you.
I'm going to record a video. So somebody's going to roll out a TV and they're going to turn it on. And I'm going to say, if you're watching this, I am already dead. And I have a lot of problems with you people. And now you're going to hear about them.
That feels right.
I rewrote your eulogy.
Well, I can't wait to hear it.
We're all here to remember Anthony, who is now dead.
Short and sweet.
That was it. So, yeah, you know, we've all been surrounded by, there's just so much negativity in the world. People are so down. We needed something light and upbeat to help bring everybody joy this week. So today we are covering the 2003 remake of a remake of a remake of a book, The Velveteen Rabbit.
Yes.
Before we jump into this, what is y'all's connection to The Velveteen Rabbit, the book, any of the movies, anything?
I hate that book. You
go first because I already read yours. On Letterboxd.
I'm not a fan of that book. I don't get how it's a classic. It's depressing to me. Even though it has a happy ending, it's still pretty depressing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, when you look at the pantheon of children's books, not it for me. The most connection I had to that book is actually the Friends arc, where Kathy Chandler wants to get Kathy the Velveteen Rabbit.
Oh.
Because that's he wanted to get her first edition because it's her favorite kid's book, which just goes to show she was psycho and didn't deserve Joey or Chandler.
That's terrible.
But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I've seen other adaptations. I keep putting myself through it. I'm glad we've covered the first Easter Bunny, the Rankin-Bass traditionally animated special, mm-hmm. the first mm-hmm. Easter Rabbit, and that was basically an adaptation of this book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me. Having said that, I recognize people love it. And this movie, I was glad it was only 44 minutes, short and sweet. And I think it was competently made. And I'll wait to save my in-depth opinions until we dive in.
Julia, how about you?
Let's see. I mean, I've read the book, and I was familiar with the story, but it's not something I hold super close, right? Like, not my favorite children's book ever. I remember thinking this story was sad, but it's got an uptick at the end, and that's fine with me. I don't mind stories like that. As far as other versions, I have probably seen other versions, but it's never like, it's not like The Secret Garden, right? I love The Secret Garden. Read The Secret Garden. I like to watch The Secret Garden. Like, love it. These I would seek out. Velveteen Rabbit's not like that for me, where I want to see, you know, iterations of it in different media. So this was new and fresh, and I really liked it. And I thought it was very sweet, even though it does get real real fast. It gave me the feels. It made me feel something. So I liked it.
It's funny to me that you mentioned The Secret Garden, because something about this movie brought The Secret Garden up to Christine as well. And she was talking about The Secret Garden. So,
like, potently so. Like, I feel like Christine and I should talk about this, because I was sitting there watching it and I was like, man, big Secret Garden vibes. So what about you, Tom? What'd you think of it?
So I do remember this book as a kid. I don't remember loving it or not loving it, but I do remember the 1985 cartoon that was narrated by Christopher Plummer.
And R.I.P.
I just remember being very sad as a kid watching it. Like, it was a depressing, the cartoon was depressing. I think this one did a lot better job of having a more memorable, upbeat ending than the other cartoon did.
The ending I really liked in this one.
So I'm going to go through the cast and crew real quick so we can jump right into this movie. Our star is William, played by Phoenix LaRouche.
Oh, I thought he played by King George.
Who we've already recovered.
Little King George.
Prince George. We've already covered this kid. He was the little boy in The Royal Nanny. Of his four movie credits, three of them are Christmas related and two of them are Christmas Hallmark movies.
Well, look at that. That's why I thought this kid was a good actor, because he shined bright in The Royal Nanny, even next to that Leanne Hainsby lookalike, and
Momo, who I think is our most endearing adult in this film. Is that his nanny or his grandmother?
I was also wondering this.
I think it's his nanny.
Yeah.
Okay. She gave grandmother vibes to him big
time.
She
did. She did.
Is played by Tilly Vosburgh. She's had quite a long career. She was in the 2015 remake of Far From the Maddening Crowd. One episode of Call the Midwife. She was in the 2011 movie The Awakening. A lot of stuff our friends across the pond may be familiar with. She was in a couple episodes of Waking the Dead. And she did a lot of TV over the years. I loved her in this. I really did.
Yeah, she was sweet.
She was very comforting and warm. The mother is played by Samantha Colley, who I didn't recognize her, but I guess she was on a few episodes of Victoria. She had an arc as Eliza on Victoria. She was in The Crucible, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh.
The TV show Archie. Britannia.
The TV show Archie.
Yeah, four-part drama depicting the life of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Archibald Alexander Leach, a.k.a. Cary Grant.
Cary Grant.
Does a lot of heavy lifting there, calling him the greatest leading man.
Cary Grant? He's up there.
I never said he wasn't up there, but I would not call him the greatest leading man. I would need time to think about who I would, but I don't think it's Cary Grant.
Ooh, is that a Change My Movie Mind topic?
I think it's Jimmy Stewart is my favorite leading man of.
Jimmy Stewart's definitely up there too. Speaking of leading men and men from that time period, Leonardo DiCaprio is playing Frank Sinatra in a Martin Scorsese movie, so give that to me as an Italian gentleman who grew up with Frank Sinatra. Knock that out of the park. Apparently Martin Scorsese is shooting it back to back with his Jesus movie, so.
Huh.
Okay.
They closed both down part of our...
Could say I did it my way.
They closed down some businesses around us this week to film Ethan Hawke's new series.
Ethan Hawke in town. He was at the gathering place the day after Ethan and I were there, and I was a little salty about it.
Can I just say, I love that you guys love when they shut your streets down to shoot something there, because here, whenever they do it, and they did the other day, and I was like, I have to go drive around out of my freaking way because you were shutting down this freaking street.
It's just exciting for us.
Just have them.
And the dad is played by Leonard Buckley, who does not have any credits to his name. He was in the movie Belfast and in a few episodes of a new series I'm not familiar with, Belgravia, The Next Chapter. The Velveteen Rabbit's voice is Alex Lothar, who was in the TV series, the star of the show, The End of the Freaking World.
Except he didn't say freaking.
No. He was in Black Mirror, Andor, The Imitation Game. I recognize him. He has a
wonderful
voice. He does. The King's voice is done by... The King's voice is Patterson Joseph.
He was just in Wonka.
He was Slugworth in Wonka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
The obnoxious car that I just want to crush is voiced by Lois Kimimba, who I didn't recognize her from anything, but...
Oh, I hate her guts, though.
She's done voice work, and she was in the show. The Thief, His Wife, and the Canoe.
She gave me a lot of Mr. Potato Head vibes from the first Toy Story when I wanted to smack
that. Fair. That's fair. And she was a voice in The Doctor Who Redacted podcast.
The Doctor Who Redacted podcast? Not the Doctor Who Redacted podcast. I think there's a difference, right? It's the Doctor Who
colon redacted podcast. And then I was a little concerned on where the show was going to go when I saw Helena Bonham Carter was in it, because she has a tendency of going very dark. But she was one of the most positive, upbeat characters in the whole thing. She played the wise horse.
She was.
And I love her voice, so, you know,
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
That's a win.
I did not get the Sweeney Todd or Fight Club vibes from her that I've gotten in other things.
More darn shit. It's a darn shame she wasn't giving off the Fight Club vibes. or the Bellatrix Lestrange vibes.
That would be a different movie.
That would be.
Let me tell you something. Julia, have you ever... You've gone to Harry Potter Land, right? I know you don't go to Universal often, but... Have you done the Gringotts ride?
Yeah, I have.
When her and Voldemort are standing there on the 3D immersive screen in front of you, like, that is legitimately kind of frightening. Like, it's one thing seeing them on the TV, but seeing them full human height right in front of you, like, a little intimidating, not gonna lie.
It is. It was a good ride. I was really surprised.
Yep.
All right, so the classic story. We open up with, first of all, when the whole show opens, I'm in love with everything. I'm in love with the visuals. I'm in love with the feel. The score is wonderful.
Is as melancholic as the story. It fits the movie very well.
It fits it so well.
But it's sad. Like, I'm gonna put that score on when I want to cry in the shower or something.
There's a specific part I'm gonna come back and disagree with you on. But for the when it's
surprise,
when it's,
surprise.
Somber, it's somber. Like as we're seeing this beautiful scene of these kids getting ready for Christmas at school and making an ornament, and William has friends, you know, it's very collegial, it's fun, it's chummy. He makes a beautiful ornament. His friends are sad to see him go, and he's moving, like his family is moving.
Sad. Isn't it fun when school was like this?
Yes. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It gave me Bluey vibes from the new episode, The Sign, which I know y'all didn't watch it, so.
I watched it.
I watched it because I just saw everyone crying about it on Twitter, and I was like, what the heck is the big deal here?
It was so good.
It was so good. You know what, Jude watched it before I watched it, and because he like... He was in the bathroom like he usually is every morning. And then he like came out and he's like, the new Bluey comes on today. And he like got under the blanket with his iPad and he watched it. And then when he popped out of his blanket, I was like, so how was it? And he goes, it was really good. It's emotional. I'm like, oh.
Well, it's emotional.
Okay. So I watched it and he watched me watch it. And I was crying, obviously, because I cry at everything. But... He was like, wasn't it emotional? And I'm like, it's really emotional. Keep warning me.
I couldn't believe Bluey pulled off so much emotion. That show is so well done.
Show's so good. So good.
Anyway. So we see him driving, they're going away, and they're moving to this big, beautiful estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. The grounds are beautiful. The house is beautiful. But William is having a hard time, and we see that he's isolated and has no friends. But fear not.
Let's move at Christmas. That's rough.
For Father Christmas is coming.
Moving anytime during this middle of the school year is hard.
Yeah.
Fear not. We go down. He gets
May nothing you dismay.
He's very excited, and he was told he had to sleep until 7.
Yeah, to listen for the 7 chimes to go off, and that made me laugh. Mm-hmm.
And I liked how Moma's like, are you sure it was 7? I thought that was 6, like the little kid troll. And he gets his beautiful stocking. That house looked, you love the Christmas vibes of that house, right?
Yeah, it was very Christmassy. The Christmas scenes were very Christmassy.
Thank you for clarifying.
He got a velveteen rabbit that mm-hmm. he immediately is smitten with and loves.
An ugly rabbit. Let's be real. The design
he's
is
ugly. He's so cute.
The design is like
the first thing Ellie said was that doesn't look like a velveteen rabbit.
Ellie,
she wasn't wrong.
Tell Ellie the woman on the podcast agrees with her. I look forward to meeting her.
The woman, Anthony. She's like, oh, Anthony might come to Tulsa. I'm so excited to meet her.
Mom, that's why I'm growing out the beard.
Oh, good. I'm gonna put money on the fact that she's gonna call you the bearded lady. So he quickly becomes best friends with this rabbit, and they're running around and having all the fun in the world.
I want to interject here. I loved the different animation filming styles, like how seamlessly it switched from live action, then their adventures were animated, and then you had CGI. I loved it. It was so good. They had two directors for this film. One handled all the animated sequences, and one handled the live action stuff.
The animated sequences were beautiful. The way that you were... Everything about the style of the art that they did, the way it was presented, you felt like it gave me kid vibes. It made me feel like I was a kid again.
Yeah, and I would agree.
So they're on all these adventures, digging tunnels, escaping, looking for treasure together. The rabbit's talking, and the boy makes comment, the boy, as they keep calling William.
The boy.
Calls him real, and William ends up... dropping the rabbit, and he ends up in the toy room with the wise horse, who we love, a kind of idiotic king, you know, product of years of inbreeding and royalty. A car that's just plain jerk.
Yeah.
And a lion, and they're all talking about how real they are, and the car's like, look at me, I have a real motor, I can drive, you just have to wind me up, I'm so real, I'm metal, and I have wheels. And he's like, wait,
we need to just extract the just wind me up part that you just said. You said somewhere else randomly, just wind me up.
I'll say but they decide that this lion who can move his legs in a 360 degree circle, he's real. The king is real, because I mean, look at his clothes and his real jewels that he has. But this rabbit doesn't look real. None of them call out the fact that the wise horse can't move its legs. Like, none of them have a problem with that.
It's freaking gigantic. They don't want to talk against her.
Why did any of these toys think they had a chance of ending up in bed with a little boy?
I don't know. Like, the car is uncomfortable to sleep with. The
horse is too big.
Well, yeah, all of them are.
Well, the horse didn't think it was. The horse wasn't vying for it, right? The king was. But they try to shun the rabbit so that he can't be the sleep toy. But of course, Dad comes in, or Moma comes in, and they're looking for him, and they find the rabbit and take the boy. And so we're seeing them develop this beautiful relationship, and then they're outside playing, and
the boy sneezing.
The boy just starts sneezing, even in his dream. He's sick.
It's not funny. As we know from the Casper episode, I'm uncomfortable with child deaths.
Well, this scarlet fever he gets, which, just so everybody knows, there's a bacteria that causes a rash. It's basically enhanced strep.
I had scarlet fever as a kid.
Commonly. It's not a big deal. It's not as big of a deal anymore.
I did, and I was sick for ages. So my grandparents, it was around Christmas, they came to watch me so my parents could go out and get a break. And my parents came home with this beautiful animatronic Santa sitting at a wooden desk, and you plug him in, he has a candle on his desk, and he moves back and forth with his quill checking his list. My dad had taken a green pen and added my name to the top of the list. So to match the rest of the list, yeah. We still have that. Every year, it's up in my parents' house still. But that's all I remember from Scarlet Fever.
That's really cool, Anthony.
Yeah.
I'm glad you survived it.
But the kid,
kid almost doesn't.
Thank God for modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccines and antibiotics. I thought that too. Thanks.
Yeah. What's my confidence level that this doctor actually knew that it was touch and go? Like when doctors used to say it's touch and go, I'm like, you don't know crap. You don't know what's touch and go. You have nothing monitoring to make you understand what's touch and go.
No, you just see his cheeks are red and he's coughing. But he went downhill fast and got well fast. He's got
a big old wheeze.
He does. He does. And so the other toys are like, look, this kid is sick. We've seen this before. If you get around the kid, they're going to burn you. So go hide.
And the adult's like, no. Had scarlet fever that the other toys have seen it before.
Toys are probably pretty well. And they
it was the uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, the uncle.
And
had it.
He almost died. The uncle almost died. So they tell the rabbit to hide, but the rabbit doesn't. He goes right to the middle of the room and waits there, knowing.
The rabbit's like, no, he was loyal to me. I'm gonna be loyal to him. I don't care if I burn.
We did miss another important part. Really sweet.
When he meets a real rabbit outside.
These toys are telling me he's not real. He meets a real rabbit outside and he's like, I'm a rabbit like you. And they're like, I don't think so, dude. And they peace out and leave him there in the snow after, you know, mocking his body.
They're not mean, though. They're not like the car and mean. They're just kind
of
like. No,
it's not like a mean-spirited thing. Okay. It's just, okay, crazy rabbit.
Yeah.
So he goes in the bed with the boy. The boy gets better the next day after being touch and go and is out of bed, which I don't think that's how that works. And the doctor's like, all right, bundle everything up and let's burn it. And so MoMA gets all the sheets together and the rabbit and takes it out to the dude who's already building a fire. He's like, got to burn this. But he didn't have his matches.
How lucky.
But the rabbit cries. He knows he's going to get burned. He pops his head out. He's trapped in the blankets and he cries
and I feel no sympathy for him at this point because he was warned what would happen if he went to climb bed,
but he did it because of love.
I'm joking.
And he's like, oh my gosh, Anthony, he's about to be burned, and Anthony, crying that he's gonna miss his boy,
he's never gonna see the boy again. But a fairy pops up, the fairy of make-believe from the toy room. And he's like, I thought I was going to be a real boy because I thought I was going to be a real rabbit because he loved me. And she's like, that's not what makes you real. What makes you real is unconditional and sacrificial love like you did last night. And he's a rabbit. And so the thing that, Anthony, that you said that you didn't like was how bad the rabbit looked. What I liked about the rabbit were the little random white spots on his back that we see when we see him as a real rabbit.
I mean, CGI aside, because he looked fake, but I loved him as a real rabbit. He was adorable.
I did too.
Fine CGI.
And as a real rabbit, he does. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love this ending. He leads the boy to the treasure, which is real friends.
He does. He gives the boy the confidence he needs to go see and make new friends, which is awesome. But on the flip side, this is a full year. This kid has gone a year without friends. That is sad.
Christmas to Christmas.
That's right.
Christmas to Christmas because he gets a crappy plane that won't fly.
Yeah. Yep.
So he goes and makes new friends. we assume, I guess it's just as likely the kids could have turned around and they could have like all piled on and beat the crap out of him and told him how much they hate him. But we're assuming that they became friends.
Yeah, we don't see any bullies in here except for that stupid car.
The stupid car. Nobody wants a metal car like that.
I was hoping for a Wizard of Oz type ending where it got burned and you just heard it screaming, "I'm melting" in the bonfire.
So dark.
So what's sad
is the Velveteen Rabbit goes from living, from being almost immortal to having, I mean, rabbits don't have a very long lifespan, do they?
I don't know.
But that fairy just like stripped away years of his life.
Wild rabbits live between 1 and 9 years.
Oh, that's not terrible.
How funny would it have been you saw the rabbit hopping away happily and then a hawk comes down and scoops it up and
flies
off with it. The average life expectancies for rabbits to survive to leave the nest is only about 11 months.
What does that mean? How are those two different numbers?
The average.
Oh.
They, while rabbits can live, but it says the average life expectancy for rabbits to survive to leave the nest is only about 11 months.
That's so many rabbits, though. Like, rabbits have so many babies.
They do, and lots of them get eaten.
Lots of
them. So many babies.
So many rabbits to eat.
Hmm.
And that's another two.
Or my neighborhood, somehow people just run them over all the time, and they're always dead in the street. It's sad.
Oh, gosh.
And we have a lot of rabbits.
Hmm.
And that's the movie, and it was great.
Yeah, I liked it.
I did not like it. Like, it was, I didn't hate my time watching it. I found it time well spent, but I can't see myself ever willingly putting it on again. If it was on TV and I was slipping and saw it, I won't change the channel, but I won't go on my way to seek it out.
Yeah. It didn't feel overly long, which I liked.
No, it felt like a good length.
It did. It was very briskly paced, which I appreciated.
It was. I liked it a lot. I just really love that kid's voice that does the rabbit.
Yeah. He's not a kid.
He's 25 and he's a director.
Yeah, okay. All right. He was a kid in some movie I saw once.
As far as ranking this movie, I'm going to give it a... No Scarlet Fever, A Velveteen Rabbit, Wise Horse, Lion, and King.
Anthony, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a Velveteen Rabbit because it is a good, well-made film, but throw in a lonely boy with no friends because it's so sad.
Oh. I'm going to give it... One big, least Christmassy ever Christmas special.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It's not Christmassy. I mean, it's not
really a
Christmas
special. Now, the Christmas scenes are delightful and so lovely. In the school, in the home. But, like, is this typically touted as a Christmas story?
So this... came out last year and was advertised as a Christmas movie, probably because it was being released around Christmas. But I don't think the story itself is touted as a Christmas story. I think it's just some marketing from Apple TV, like, hey, we're releasing this around Christmas, watch it.
Okay. It's been a long time since I have read The Velveteen Rabbit. Does he get the rabbit at Christmas time in the story?
I think so, yes. I think but I don't think it's bookended by a second Christmas.
By a second Christmas. And remind me how the actual story ends. It's not with a live rabbit hopping away.
No, it is.
Right? It is.
It is.
But it's not with him making friends at the
end. Correct. Which is a change I really liked here.
That's an excellent change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
And how the rabbit led him to his friends. It was like him finding the treasure they were seeking all movie.
Yeah, I like that too. That was good. Okay. Yeah, not Christmassy enough for me. Which I guess is sad. But I don't know. Maybe not designed for Christmas anyway. It didn't decrease my enjoyment of it, though.
No, it was a fine way to spend 44 minutes.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you've seen this movie, we would love to know what you think. And the best way to let us know what you think is to join any of our digital communities. Our big one is our Facebook group, but you can find them all at linktree.com/tisofthepodcast. In addition to all the fun places to talk to us and meet our friends, there's some other content you can get to hold you over. If you don't want to wait an entire week between hearing us, Anthony, can you tell a little bit about that?
Linktree.com will take you to our Patreon as well, where for as little as $1 per month, you get full-length bonus episodes. And we have a lot of bonuses up there. Me and Julie have actually been really good about getting one or two episodes out a month this year of our little spin-off show called Tis of Ruined Podcast, where I walk Julie through the plot of a horror movie she's never seen and has no intention of seeing, but she wants to know what happens anyway. And she guesses the twists and turns along the way. It's very fun. So yeah, check it out. And speaking of our little horror sideshow, next month on the main show is Christmas Horror Month. So not full on Halloween movies, they're all still Christmas related, and I'm super excited because it's my jam, my two favorite things, horror movies and Christmas. And we're kicking things off next week with The Mean One. Based on The Grinch, it's a horrified Grinch movie starring the guy who plays Art the Clown himself. So, that's a Grinch.
Like that.
So, very excited. And tons of other cool stuff coming out. There's Something in the Barn. It's a Wonderful Knife. A Creature Was Stirring. So, May will be fun. And then June will be really fun because it's Bad Sequels Month.
Oh, I feel like we've been kicking that can down the road for a while.
We have. I think Stephen Beach and Matt Yurick once commented on Facebook not too long ago that they've been waiting for that one for a long time, but it keeps moving.
Yeah, solid suggestion.
And that will include Jingle All the Way, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Island Vacation, A Christmas Story 2, and Home Alone 3.
Oh my God.
A Christmas Story 2, the original straight to VHS one, not the kind of prequel sequel we got on HBO last year or 2 years ago that we all liked.
All out.
I think this one actually stars Marv as the dad, the old man.
Okay.
Marv from Home Alone? Okay. Don't like that already.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Like, you're allowed one core Christmas role and can't have two.
So, do your homework. You've got plenty of fun stuff to watch. And we're going to keep trying to give you the Christmas spirit for the next 5,760 hours.
That's only 240 days.
That's 34 weeks.
Go on and start putting up those decorations. It'll be here before you know it. Bye.